This is Ragamuffin Radio, and we're webcasting from the southern shires of England, your easy listening station for the finest in folk, blues, contemporary and traditional music. You're listening to Sunday in the Shires, a programme of selected favourite tunes presented every Sunday by myself, Ragamuffin Brian, and the Ragamuffin Director of Programmes himself, settling down for a snooze in his famous armchair, Ragamuffin Mike.
Good morning. It's springtime in the Shires. The daffodils are fading, but the primroses are out.
So, we invite you to sit back and relax for an hour, put the coffee on the stove, the tea in the pot, settle back into your own favourite armchair, and welcome to Sunday in the Shires.
Welcome home, Al, said the sign at the gate. I got there early, Al got there late. Together we entered, we greeted our mates. Now he was back in Texas. Al's ashes and me, we've been for a drive. He loved while he was alive. Back at the ranch, on the day we arrived, we saw almost all of his favorite people. Al's ashes and me been making the rounds out in the country and into the towns. Find a little higher ground. In motels, well, we have to be out by 11 or 12. And I could do better at describing the smells, 'cause I, you see, he was a poet. Now I get to bed, Al gets to the floor, my jeans in a pile by the door. There's always a Bible in one of the drawers, and a remote control for the TV. Now I might appear to be eating alone, table for two, and I sit on my own. Looks are deceiving, truth had been known alone, but for the roses. Brush with the law at the airport. Metal detectors went off. I emptied my pockets, and the first thing they saw was out. I had to do some explaining. Dolls, asses, and me on the Donegal shore. We walked in the sand and the ocean roared. Out in my pocket, me trying to keep warm. My coat and my red bandana. Lyle's asses and me, we sat in the pub. The cobblestone bar in the Smithfield part of Dublin. Out on the wagon, me raising my cup to Al. I says to the barman, now I introduce Al to some of my friends. Not all the time, just every now and again. I guess you could say that it really depends on how it feels in the moment. Asses and me, we wish you were here to show you the sights, bring you good cheer. We're hoping to see you a little later this year, Lord willing.
Song about Al.
This may be a little off the wall.
I hope so.
But I figure most of us here are. So this song's total fantasy. It was born at the Folk Alliance, and Chuck told you that he had gotten his little vial and brought it into the room because I was his roommate. And he said, guess what this is? I said, what is it? This is Al Grierson. And so it's probably 7 o'clock in the morning, and we were just up there giggling away and thinking and remembering things. I didn't get to know Al as well as most of you here, but I got to know him well enough to know that he affected me the way I looked at things, and I saw the way he affected other people. And so this song was just born for no other reason than most songs that I write. They just come out of nowhere. So if you hope you can identify with what this thing is about. It's more or less about how he might have affected someone.
In the Texas sky floats a little cloud where the spirits lie and they laugh out loud. Al Grierson sings his story, though it takes a little time. How he got snorted by the boys on the US-Canada line.
Told you. Right here is the spot where any self-respecting Nashville songwriter would hit that pedal steel chord and get off the stage. But in the spirit of folk singing, and Al Grierson in particular, I will proceed apace a few more verses. Tell the story. That happy green is all I have, a mighty part of town. So every day I greet the artist, formerly known as Al. His love abides in this sad world, and three men, no one knows. He stops at the borderline, and treated us like loyal swine. Until they snorted Al and David Grierson up their nose. Until they snorted Al and David Grierson their nose.
Well, as Steve Gillette was always so fond of saying about Al's songs, that's a lot of song, Jack.
Owls, Ashes and Me by Chuck Brodsky comes from an album called Color Came One Day, and Jack Williams in A Texas Sky from the original tribute to Al Grierson.
Yes, of course, Al Grierson passed away, I think it was 2001, in a sad accident over a flash flood in Texas. And in 2002, all his fellow singer-songwriters got together at the Kerrville Folk Festival on the open stage and held a tribute to Al.
And the family gave some ashes to Chuck Brodsky, which is what Jack Williams is talking to about that, and he made the song up on that basis, didn't he?
Exactly that. First of all, Chuck Brodsky wrote his song, which was called Owls, Ashes and Me, which he performed at the Remembrance concert. And then Jack stood up, almost spontaneous, I think, and did In the Texas Sky, which is the story all about Chuck Brodsky's experience on the Canadian-American border. Because he in his travels crosses the border many, many times, of course. And on this occasion, he was wearing this file, I believe, on a chain around his neck. And the customs officials looked at him suspiciously, and they were thinking it was some illegal substance. And he tried to convince them that it wasn't. And they went off into a corner and ended up, as Jack Williams puts in his song, snorting the ashes of Al Grierson. And it's always been a point of humour, maybe a little bit
of it's a sad occasion, but I think folk songwriters pay a great tribute in that testimonial to Al Grierson.
Oh yeah,
to his songwriting and everything.
We've got the programme, as you know, on the website. It's called For the Roses, which is the whole concert that was recorded, which is available for our listeners to tune into whenever they wish. And I just thought tonight, for a change, we'd link these two tracks. And the reason why we're linking them is, of course, Owls, Ashes and Me, and the experience that poor old Chuck Brodsky had on the border crossing from Canada into America.
And Chuck Brodsky's in Ireland, you were telling me?
He's in Ireland at the moment touring, yes. I believe he's got some of his supporters with him as well, travelling. So that's going to be interesting. We should get some feedback from that soon. Recommend his album from which this track was taken, Colours Came One Day, recorded, I believe, originally in Nova Scotia in Canada. And listeners probably already gathered that the first part of the evening this evening was picked by yours truly, number one slot.
And where are we going now then? We're going to go somewhere.
Well, where we're going to go now is, and I'm going to give you a clue, we're going to go down the Froggen musical toad.
Slang. And some of it's quite new. I think they've invented some of that. But it does change over the years, and people bring in more modern expressions. It really was a secret language for the costers and the cockneys and the people who worked in the markets. They didn't always want to know, let everybody know what they were talking about, so they had this patois, this language of their own. And I have heard that the word slang comes from that. S-lang, secret language. So, you know, pay your money, take your choice.
Are you a cockney?
A cockney is someone born within the sound of bow bells. Well, this is St Mary Bow, and the bells of this church ring out, and if you're born within the sound of them. In other words, within the city walls. At one time, the city had a wall all around it, up until about 1761. And the country people used to insult the townspeople by calling them cockneys, which means a bad egg. So it was something that was a bit peculiar. Or it could be an addled egg, a bad egg, actually bad. Or it could be a spoilt child. That was a cockney. But they gave that name to townspeople. And the country bumpkins, of course, we insult them back, they eventually applied it only to people living within the city of London, within the sound of Bow Bells. So not too many actual people born within the city, although that number is rising. There are 7,500 residents in the square mile. Not very many. I used to say 5,000. A couple of years ago, it had obviously upped a bit. So about 7,500 living in converted buildings, warehouses, churches, all sorts of things. But life certainly to be lived coming back to the city. So that's the Cockneys. The Costers were people who sold fruit and veg. And then they had seasons for the various things that they sold. They sold spring flowers early in the year, and then by May they got rooted flowers, rooted plants people could set in their window boxes or little backyards if they got them. They got to June and the cherries, and of course there's an old song, cherry ripe, ripe I cry, full and fair ones come and buy. And there are other things that people used to sing in the street, lots of cries. I'm sure everybody's seen the musical Oliver, and there's a scene in that where people go around singing things like, won't you buy my sweet blooming lavender, 16 branches for a penny, you buy it once, you buy it twice, because it makes your clothes smell nice. And then when there was chestermend, old chestermend, Russian cane, bottom chestermend, and mackerel and milk, all these things were cried in the street. Now they've all gone. You might, if you're very lucky, just hear the rag and bone man coming round.
If you saw our little garden, what a pretty spot you'd cry. It's a picture of a sunny summer's day. With the turnip tops and cabbages, what people doesn't buy? Well, I makes it all a Sunday look all gay. Course the neighbours think I grows them, and you'd fancy you're in Kent, or at Epsom if you gazed into the mews. It's a wonder as the landlord doesn't want to raise the rent, just because we got such knobby distant views. What views? Course it really is a very pretty garden, and Chiswick to the westward might be seen. With a ladder and some glasses, you could see to Acme Marshes, if it wasn't for the houses in between. Though the gasworks isn't violets, they improve the rural scene, and for mountains they would very nicely pass. With the mushrooms in the dust hole and the cowcumbers so green, why, it only wants a bit of hothouse glass. I wears a milkman's nightshirt and I sits outside all day, like the ploughboy cove what mizzled o'er the lea. And when I comes indoors at nights, they dunno what I says, cause me language gets as yokel as can be. Busy, course it really is a very pretty garden, and Hampstead to the northwards might be seen. If I had a rope and pulley, I'd enjoy the breeze more fully, if it wasn't for the houses in between. We're as countryfied as can be, with a close proper tree, and the mangle makes a rustic little style.
Every time the blinking clock strikes, there's a cuckoo sings to me. And I've written up to Kentish Town 1 mile. The dust cart, though it seldom comes, is just like harvest home. And we mean to rig a dairy up summer. Put the donkey in the washhouse with some imitation horns. And we're teaching him to moo just like a canary. Cause it really is a very pretty garden. And Acne to the eastwards might be seen. And by clinging to the chimbley, you could see across to Wembley if it wasn't for the houses in between. If it wasn't for the houses in between. Since first I copped a tidy lump of swag, I've always kept a decent little nag. But one, as I shall sing about to you now, was worth a million jimmies in a bag. I matched against the best that could be found. Four owners made a stake of £60. So the race was duly run, and I'll tell you how I won with Brave Polly, my old pony, world renowned. Down the road away went Polly with a step so jolly that I knew she'd win. Down the road the pace was killing, but the mare was willing for a lightning spin. All the rest were licked and might as well have never been born. Whoa, mare, whoa, mare, you've earned your little bit of corn. Tom Jones the butcher thought the foreman true. Says he, look here, I'll tell you what I'll do. My cob shall trot your mare again next Monday, and 50 more bright sovereigns I will blue. If you prove she can beat him once again, I'll never more in this world touch a rein. Though I knew he'd got no chance, he insisted on the dance. So now I'll tell you how we slew the slain. Down the road away went Polly with a step so jolly that I knew she'd win. Down the road the pace was killing, but the mare was willing for a lightning spin. Jones's cob was licked and might as well have never been born. Wow, mare, wow, mare, you've earned your little bit of corn. Soon after that she reached life's final goal. I'd had that little wonder from afar, and grief too keen to talk about was mine when poor Paul was carted off to fill an hole. Me missus and the kids all went with me. The last of poor pet pony Paul to see, and our neighbours shared the grief that was felt beyond belief when the little man was buried, R.I.P. Down the road, away went Polly, not a face looked jolly, 'twould have seemed a sin. Down the road, the pace not killing, but the dead mare willing for the final spin. Everybody looked so sad, and I felt quite forlorn. Whoa, mare, whoa, mare, you've earned your little bit of corn. Down the road, away went Polly with a step so jolly that I knew she'd win. Down the road, the pace was killing, but the mare was willing for a lightning spin. All the rest were licked and might as well have never been born. Wow, mare, you've earned your little bit of corn.
The Pearly Queen outside Mary LeBeau Church, giving the guided tour to the tourists, followed by someone you know very, very well, Brian, John Foreman, with those beautiful songs. What was one called? Down the Road. What the last one was called? And
the first one was The Houses in Between. And it's off an album originally called The Houses in Between.
The Houses in Between.
And the second track was Down the Road. So I nearly said, me old China shop, a chance to chew the musical fat. Because in the introduction and the tour from the guide, listeners would have heard the Cockney rhyming slang, which was a language developed originally amongst costermongers. These were the people who were street traders in those days, and they used to sell everything from flowers to pies, whatever, on the streets. And as she explained, they didn't always want to know what one another was talking about, so they made it their secret language, and we talk about it as possibly being secret S language slang.
Slang, yeah.
Okay. Now, I followed it up with two tracks from a vinyl album which is no longer available, called The Houses in Between by John Foreman. I met John Foreman many years ago when he used to come to our folk club, the Old Jug of Punch, and perform. He used to refer to folk clubs as being the poor man's musical.
Yeah.
And John was responsible for forming up the British Musical Society, today the chairman of which and chief patron, of course, is Roy Hudd.
Roy Hudd, yeah.
And you heard two songs there, as we mentioned just now, The Houses in Between and Down the Road. And both songs really totally reflect the Cockney sort of spirit and the Cockney attitude. And listeners will find on the website all the connecting links to be able to get more knowledge about Cockneys and their music. It's a fascinating subject, and I would encourage anybody to go on and do a bit of research, because these albums obviously are no longer available.
Yeah, yeah.
And only the day before yesterday, I did somebody an enthusiast a favour by sending him a CD copy of this album. Yeah. I shall now probably get inundated by people online asking me to do the same. Well, we'll always try and help where we can. So, second insert for me tonight, or second episode, was the Cockneys, their music, their language, and their way of living, and how it's affected everybody and the Cockney spirit. And we're going to try a little bit of different spirit now.
Yeah.
This is going to have a bit of what I would call true blue spirit in its music.
Right. I'm interested to hear where we're going.
I was born in Tulsa, Oklahoma. 31 years ago. And I never really lived in Tulsa. We lived in a smaller town outside of Tulsa, up northeast of Tulsa. And Tulsa was just the closest place where they had a hospital. But I was born in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and when I was about 3 years old, my family moved out to the state of Washington. That was right after the Second World War. There was a lot of economic boom out in the Pacific Northwest, as in California, and this sort of thing. We lived up there and that part of the country for about 6 years. And then we came to, I guess my family wanting to get closer back to the homeland or whatever, made it as far back as Albuquerque, New Mexico.
So we might say that you came from an average middle-class American family.
Just working people. Mm-hmm. That's about the way you can put it. They went out that door every morning, every day of the week, as long as I can remember, and went to the same spot at the same time, and picked them up and put them down, as they say.
So you went on and finished high school, I suppose, in Albuquerque.
I finished high school in Albuquerque, and I worked my way through the University of New Mexico, working at different jobs in the summertime. A couple of summers I worked as a horse wrangler on a ranch up in northern New Mexico. And in the wintertime I worked part-time for Montgomery Ward's, and went on to school. My parents helped me as much as they could, but they weren't well-to-do people. And I always had a job all the way through school, and I graduated from the University of New Mexico.
What were your interests in college?
I started out as a journalism major, and that lasted about three-fourths of the way through the first semester. And then I went through three or four different majors, you know, within the next couple of semesters. Of course, at that time, you're taking the usual courses anyway. You know, it's all about the same. And midway through my sophomore year, I decided that I wanted to be a fine arts major. So my degree was in fine arts, in painting and drawing and art history.
Do you still do any of this?
No, I haven't in some time, and I guess it's just a matter of...
You're painting songs now.
Yeah, you know, I just kind of switched media,
yeah.
Really. It's not, to me, it's no different. I was back in New Mexico this Christmas, and I was talking to my old department chairman there, who's still head of the museum, Van Deren Koch, and he said, well, Jim, he said, you know, you were such a fine art student and everything, and he said, all of a sudden, he says, you wind up going to Nashville and writing country songs. He said, how in the world can you equate that, you know, after studying Picasso and Toulouse-Lautrec and all the rest of them, you know, and Rembrandt. But I told him, I said, it's the same thing. I said, it's no different. I said, have you ever heard I'm So Lonesome I Could Cry? He said, yeah, I've heard it. And he's from Kentucky, and so it's pretty hard to live in Kentucky and not hear that sort of thing. But I said, it's no different. And as far as I'm concerned, it's not, really. I think you've got the same basic ingredients. You've got composition. You know, you've got design. You've got imagery. You've got colors. You know, what's the blues if it isn't a color?
Well, that's for sure.
You know?
I'm the blues man. I've been around a long, long time. I heard the midnight whistle through the delta of my mind. Seen the neon in Chicago paint a glow on Saturday night. I'm the blues man. I've seen the wrong end. Oh, I've seen the right. I'm the blues man. Lord, I've got a million sad, sad songs. Off from streamlined flyers to smoke-filled honky-tonks. I've seen you working, I've seen you straining just to try to get by. I'm the blues man. I can hear you when you cry. There's many a mile I've traveled, been that long hard way. So many dreams unravel neath the burden. Lord, you know, it ain't been easy. I wouldn't have it no other way. I'm the blues man. You can believe you what I say. I was around when there was no hope. When the flame was dying, you were lonesome and so alone. I've seen you cry, I've seen you try, I've seen the glory in your eyes. I'm the blues man, and I know I can make it shine. Yes, I'm the blues man, and I know I can make it shine. Shine down on me, all of my dreams, unbroken and free. Red rose of summer, blooming so sweet. Calico gypsy, my rodeo queen. Warm as a prairie, wind in the spring. Across the white valley, where the wildflowers green. Starlight of morning, rainbow of dawn. Memories of good times alive in my heart. West Texas sun, shine down on me. All of my dreams, unbroken and free. Red rose of summer, blooming so sweet. Calico gypsy, my rodeo queen. As the midnight moon on the snow, soft as the willow, where the waters run deep, bringing me beauty out on the dark sea. West Texas sun, shine down on me. All of my dreams, unbroken and free. Red rose of summer, all blooming so sweet. Calico gypsy, my rodeo queen. Calico gypsy, my rodeo queen.
James Talley with two songs and an interview at the start. And the interview, I understand, comes from that great album, the 30th anniversary edition of Got No Bread, No Milk, No Money, But We Sure Got A Lot Of Love.
Absolutely.
And what some love he put into those two songs from Touchstones, Blues Man and Calico Gypsy.
Yeah. I've tried to tie together here the story, if you like, of James Talley. James's story is weird. First of all, unusual would be a better word. He was a talent, without a doubt. And he had, I believe it was with Capitol, wasn't it, that he had his first recording contracts. And he cancelled out of those, and for a decade or more, ended up in real estate. And then some of his fans, I think, brought him back into the music forum and back into the spotlight. And as soon as people heard this music again, after something like 20 years, he suddenly is back in demand, you know, because there's so much talent here. I know for a fact, I don't have to sell him to you, Mike.
Oh, absolutely not.
He's a blues talent. He's totally unique. And we were just discussing while the songs were playing that as he's matured, I think he's mellowed. And as he's mellowed, so his singing's got better and his recordings have got better. In this particular case, as you know, I've taken the two tracks. The first one's called The Blues Man, which I've been known to sing occasionally down
sing
at the club.
Yeah, you sing at the folk club, which is
yeah,
brilliant.
I'm an enthusiast of this guy. And the second one, Calico Gypsy. And I've taken them not off the original anniversary edition. I've taken them off of the Touchstones album. There are several other albums available. I just happen to feel that the Touchstones album is one of my personal favourites.
It's one of mine because it was recorded close to San Antonio in Texas, deep in the heart of Texas, and it's got that real Texas feel to it.
Yeah, and this guy, of course, sings about real life because he's actually experienced the surfing effect of the highs and the lows of the music industry. At one point, he was singing, would you believe, in the White House for Jimmy Carter. And the next minute, he's virtually out of the music industry and out of a job. But then we always say that quality always comes to the top.
Yeah, definitely.
And after more than a decade, he's now in demand more than ever.
I wish he'd come over here.
I do too. But we say to our listeners, if you get the opportunity, go and buy James Talley's music. The links are on the website. Yeah. You will not be disappointed. If you're listening to blues and ethnic, acoustic music, anything like that, he is a man to be savoured.
Certainly.
Now, that's the end of my three selection sections for this week's programme. And I do know for a fact that we're going over to your first choice this week, an edited version of your recent visit to a gig at the Platform Tavern in Southampton.
In the mid-60s, I was a little young to be in the middle of the folk scene personally, but my teachers were old enough to be, and they would bring it from Greenwich Village, where it was all happening, to me, a little kid out in Queens, New York, and I've been playing in the traditions of the country blues, the old masters from the South, ever since I was 10 years old. That style of music caught my heart, and my guitar playing was 100% influenced by that fingerstyle country blues, which isn't really the traditional blues that you think of, or really country music, but a meld. Artists like Reverend Gary Davis and Mississippi John Hurt, were those are the icons of that style.
Did you hear it through records then? Or did
I did.
Yeah.
I did. Well, my teachers taught it to me, but I was glued to those records also.
Wow.
And I still have those vinyl records, in fact, and they're the best thing ever, and nothing touches me like that does.
Where does your songwriting come from? Where do you get your songs from?
You know, really, from the music that I listen to, I'm inspired, but these are very original songs, yet the constructs are country blues constructs. The ragtime, the chord changes, the finger style are very much in those basic traditions. The words and concepts are my own twisted and hopefully humorous thoughts.
Right.
Because whatever it was took hold and wouldn't let go. And it was very prolific and very consuming. So I wasn't really intending to do it. It was kind of an accident that wouldn't stop. And it came, it was quite overwhelming, and it has continued to be, but in a wonderful way. So I've written over 100 songs. And I've got, you know, these 4 easy CDs full of them, plenty more in the bag.
Oh, yeah. And will this trip to England inspire you then?
I think that I have gotten some ideas while driving around. I have my little pad, and I wrote some stuff down that I'm saving up.
Yeah.
You just never know when they're going to pop out, but it'll pop out. Buddy Cage, who plays with the New Riders.
Wow, you know, I know Buddy Cage.
You know, he's like the greatest pedal steel player in the world. He's a friend, and he plays on 2 of my albums a lot. And, you know, he's a crusty old fellow, funny and very irreverent and very, very brilliant. exciting
so
thing.
So have you got Buddy Kaiser on any album?
I sure do.
Oh, well,
a whole bunch.
The last time I heard Buddy Kaiser was with the New Riders at Bickershaw, way up north in Wigan, when the Grateful Dead played.
Yeah, he did great things on the songs, which is, it was great because he went in the studio.
He's got such a lovely touch.
He does, and he just listened to these songs once, the first time, and he played and he said, oh, that's fine, we'll keep that.
Well, listeners, it was Easter Sunday, and the back view of Ragamuffin Mike was seen to disappear south with his recording gear on his back down to the Platform Tavern, I believe, in Southampton to listen to and to interview Marjorie Thompson.
Yeah, and what you heard there was part of the interview, because we're going to split it into two, Brian. There's the first part of the interview, and you also heard Ernie and Grace from the latest Marjorie Thompson album called Right By Me. It was a stunning set of music from her and the bassist Greg Franklin. It was lovely, full of interesting turns and songs, love songs, all kinds of off-the-wall stuff. Beautifully played guitar playing in that tradition of Reverend Gary Davis and Mississippi John Hurt. It was quite unusual, and they, you know, they had a small but very affectionate audience for the music who would definitely come back to see them again.
The impression I get, because I haven't heard this music or this or Marjorie's perform before, is that this is quality country blues.
Oh, it was quality with a, you know, with a capital Q. It was absolutely superb.
And I believe she's got about five albums on available.
No,
release.
Four, and this is the latest. Yeah,
This is the latest one.
And we're going to hear a little bit more in the next interview about Marjorie. But you can check the links on the web for her. Check where she's playing, because I believe she's back in the States now. A little short tour she did of England. And I know she went to Stonehenge, because she told me that she'd gone to Stonehenge and gone to Bath, to have a look at Bath as well. Because I believe Greg Franklin had actually been here at university at one point. And so this was Marjorie's first trip, and I'm glad she enjoyed it, because we certainly enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was a rare treat. I look forward to the second instalment of that interview and the music that's going to be associated with it. And I believe you haven't been able to resist your leanings towards Ireland, but this on this occasion, you haven't actually gone there, have you?
No, darn near.
There's a natural mystic blowing through the air. And if you listen carefully now, you will hear. This could be the first trumpet. It might as well be the last. Many more will have to suffer, and many more will have to die. I don't tell no lie. Things are not the way they used to be. Have to face reality now. No one tries to find the answers to all the questions they ask. No one knows it's impossible to go on living through the past. I don't tell no lie. There's a natural mystic blowing through the air. And if you listen carefully now, you will hear. This could be the first trumpet. It might as well be the last. Many more will have to suffer, and many more will have to die. I don't tell no lie. 'Cause there's a natural mystic blowing through the air. There's a natural mystic blowing through the air. Blowing through the air. Blowing through the air. Blowing through the air. to the water. Dive as deep as a man can go. Into those dark places. Watch the underwater flow. Exploring the blue. Exploring the blue. Exploring the blue. Search of you. Here I stand by the mountain. And I look up to the sky. Knowing it's a matter of having to climb. Above this place, these clouds lie. Exploring the blue. Exploring the blue. Exploring the blue. In search of you.
Luca Bloom, and that second track, Exploring the Blue, was just like waves rolling onto a sandy beach for me. I thought it was absolutely fantastic. And the first track, Natural Mystic, from an album, I believe, a live album called Amsterdam.
Yeah.
Over to you, Ragamuffin Mike.
And of course, that's written by what Luca Bloom called last Easter Monday the greatest folk songwriter in the world, Bob Marley. I only knew, before last Easter Monday, I only knew one Luca Bloom song, which is called You Couldn't Have Come at a Better Time. And I went along and Luca Bloom closed the Fareham and Gosport Folk Festival. And there had been a lot of incredible music. Peter Chapman put some great music on. And Luca Bloom said, it's time to slow it all down, he said, and we'll do this set. And my God, what a set he played. that whole room erupted, this tiny little room, the last hour of performance, and this guy had everyone in the palm of his hand. And he got towards the end, and the MC said, "Oh, you've only got one left," and he apologised and said, "Oh, you got to excuse me." He said, when I start enjoying the music, I just go off to some other place. And I could not resist saying, "We'll come with you." And he stopped what he was doing, walked over and put his hand out and shook mine. And I thought, my God, what a great ending to a gig. And it was, everybody was absolutely stunned, and so was I. So I bought the album. Wow. And if you get a chance to see Luca Bloom live, he's in it for the lash, is what the Irish call the lash. And he just performs so passionately.
Yeah, Luca Bloom, Acca Barrymore, and as many people don't know, brother of Christy Moore. From Newbridge in Ireland. Mm. If that's a sample of what's to come, I can't wait to listen to some more. And now, dear listeners, a wonderfully moving tribute to the late Anthony Minghella, written and edited by my musical colleague, Ragamuffin Mike.
A Ticket to Ride. It is the spring of 1996, late afternoon in San Francisco. I am sat on a motel bed, having a brief phone conversation with a man born 3 days before me on our diamond white island. He is a man who I'd never met or spoken to before, but such is his generous and open spirit that he invites me to come over to Berkeley to meet him.
So I'm 42 now.
When were you born? 54?
54, yeah.
What year? What month?
January the 9th.
So I was, you're 3 days younger than me.
Oh, right, you're January 11th or something?
Six.
Right. You're 42, is that?
Yeah.
That's great.
Isn't that weird? 1954.
Must have been a good year.
Good week.
Yeah.
That day in Berkeley, Anthony Minghella took me to lunch in his favourite sushi bar, took me back to the studio, sat me down and showed me clips of the film he was editing, which included wartime footage of the Isle of Wight. He talked with warmth about the actors and spoke with pride about his parents' role in the film.
So is it a love story?
It's about betrayals, really, and betrayals in war, betrayals in peace, betrayals of international... It's about internationalism, really, and about why the war, which insisted on nationality, Germans and English, and was such a divisive and horrible thing, and the damage that is caused by people being Brits or Irish, yeah.
Not being able to live together.
And it's a sort of plea for internationalism, but it takes the form of a story about a guy who apparently betrays the English. But then you discover that he feels in his own way that the English betrayed him. And this patient too is called the English patient, because when he's first washed up, they don't know where he's come from. Discover isn't actually English at all. Nice. There's a lot, many gags plays on nationality. And in the meantime, there's a terrible tragedy that happens.
This chap sounds very clever. What's his name again?
Ray Fine. The writer, Michael Ondaatje.
Yeah.
One clip remains clear in my memory. Sat in front of an Apple Macintosh computer, Anthony Minghella clicked an old plane onto the screen. It hung by a wire in a hangar. Another click, the hangar was gone, and beneath the plane was a desert landscape. One more click, the landscape began to move and the plane took flight. 1 year later, I was biding my time in a noisy late-night St. Louis bar, watching the Oscar ceremony on the overhead TV. When the English patient won 9 Oscars, I was beaming. When Anthony Minghella stepped up to take Best Director, those around me said, "Who is this guy?" I think the first thing I heard him say from that lectern was, "This is a great day for the Isle of Wight." And I clenched up my fist and pumped the air.
Hello, is that the King? Sorry to ring so late. My name's Anthony Minghella, and I'm sitting here with your friend Mike. So he said I should call you, say hello. And I've had a very splendid hour flicking through the book, and I want you to send me a copy. No, thank you. It looks like such a good book. I'm very jealous that he's taking them off somewhere else. Well done. It's a labour of love, clearly. And yeah, it is a labour of love, but well worth it. And I'm sure you give an enormous number of people pleasure. Certainly, you give me a lot of pleasure. I can't wait to dip into it. And putting us in touch together. Well, Mike's very happy because he's sitting here with me in Fantasy Studios, and where lots of people he likes have made records. So he's actually just talking to somebody now, like stealing some, I think, because it's a lot of people, Miles Davis and John Coltrane, and people recorded here, and there's a lot of music hanging around. So he's like a kid in a sweet store. I'll see if I can find him to say hello to you. Hang on a second. Nice to talk to you. You take care. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, it's a pleasure. I'm glad you dropped by. Yeah. So, let's see if we can get you this record before you go.
Well, I've got some things for you as well.
All right, good.
Let me just sort of bag it. There's a couple of violin CDs.
I listen to that because it's by Paul Athey. Yeah,
Paul Athey, Your Love. That's jazz. Come everything.
That's what I'm really interested in hearing.
Yes.
My God. So is this us playing live?
That is Dancer in the studio. That's the studio tape.
Please mind the houses and dry your eyes. Break out the shutters and look to the skies. Traveling ain't easy when your home's a surprise. Please mind the houses, I need somewhere to stay. Homecoming gypsy on a rain-wasted day. My case is empty, but it's mine anyway.
On a cold spring day, almost 12 years later, I am in a shop in Fareham, across the sea from my diamond white island. The radio in the shop announces the death of Anthony Minghella. A chill goes right through me, and my heart goes out to the Minghella family, to hope they find healing in his contribution and generous spirit to others, and to his art, which will surely never be forgotten. I never met Anthony Minghella again. The common bond of Diamond Islanders to their mother country, like the Irish to their Emerald Isle, brought us into contact for a single moment of time. That day, on his recommendation, I bought Jazzman Art Pepper's album, Going Home. He told me he wanted to make a film about Art Pepper's life, and I only wished I'd have been a big wheel in Hollywood, because I would have written him a check right there and then. Anthony Minghella told me the title track, Going Home, was a particular favourite of his. When I play it now, I imagine I am crossing the Solent with a ticket to ride in my hand, and I walk up Union Street in the warmth of the old cinema. I settle down as the projectionist switches the reels from Pearl and Dean to the main feature. An old aeroplane flies over an endless desert. Marta Sebastian's voice and Gabriel Yared's score haunts yet warms me.
Once again, we come to the end of another session, another program in the Sunday in the Shires. Hope you enjoyed the music from our little tiny studio here in the folds of the South Downs of England.
Yeah, and thanks for listening.
Yeah, and thanks very much for listening. Look forward to your company next time around in a fortnight's time. Good night now.
Yeah, good night.